And as Japan has received international condemnation for resuming its commercial whale fishing after 30 years, it seems like just the week to discuss Australia's own history and relationship to whaling. Lisa, welcome to the show. Thanks for
Good
your time.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what can you tell us about Australia's own history in whaling, with whaling?
Well, I think it's something that perhaps we forget a little bit about, because of course today Australia is a leading nation in terms of lobbying for the conservation of whales. But we were very much a part of the industry, particularly in the early 19th century here in Sydney.
Right, there you go.
So you've just got to really, I think, look back at the records, and you can see it through all sorts of things. You can see it through art, you can see it through the newspapers, you can see it through our economic exports. This was actually a really important industry for Sydney. And in fact, people talk about Australia's sort of being, you know, built off the sheep's back or so on. But in fact, for Sydney, the whaling industry offered a viable economic business that brought, I guess, created an export thing that actually allowed people to get a regular income going in. And so compared to sheep in the early colony, it was a much more lucrative industry to start with, because it could happen all year round, especially if the whalers went right down into the sort of Antarctic areas, and they could do sort of all year round. They could follow the whales through their migration. And also, I guess the export market was there straight away, whereas sheep involves a lot of breeding for their wool and so on. And so it takes, it might be more lucrative in the long run, but it might be a lot more sustainable, we would argue today, than whaling, but it actually takes a lot longer. So for Sydney, now we're talking 1805, you know, early kind of colonial Sydney.
Sure.
That was when the first whaling ship left Sydney. And so Sydney was originally great because it was sort of down in the southern hemisphere, down south, and was a good stopping off point. So the British and the Americans already had a sort of a whaling industry happening. And so there were whaler ships heading down south through the 19th century. And so Sydney initially, when it was established as a penal colony, was a great stopping point.
Right.
But then Sydney actually became more involved, and local businessmen started setting up. So think of beautiful Mossman. A bit la-di-da today.
A little.
was once the location of a whaling station where they fitted out whaler ships and other ships and so on. And so, yes, Archibald Mossman, who gave his name to the suburb, was actually involved in setting up an early whaling station there in the 1830s.
Wow.
This is – and the 1830s, this is kind of at the – around the peak of the whaling industry in Sydney. So to give you an idea, in 1837 – there were 42 deep sea whalers based in Sydney. So that deep sea whalers are the really big ships that go out down into the high seas.
42, geez.
And they employed around 1,300 seamen. And these men were from many countries. So they were British, but they were Americans, Pacific Islanders, Maoris, and they contributed to the multicultural melting pot of Sydney too. So it's kind of a really interesting place to be, Sydney. Whaling also involved not just the big ships, but they had smaller ships. So they stimulated the shipbuilding industry in Sydney, and that was actually really important as well. And they obviously created an export, as I said, producing whale oil and Baleen, and it was worth about $2.6 million. That was between 1825 and the 1870s. So it was a major export. Mm. And one of the things that we've got an article on Sydney's whaling fleet, and author Mark Howard, he makes this point that not only was a great export, but it was cheap to send back to the Northern Hemisphere because the casks of whale oil were, I guess, were used like as ballast on the trading ships. Mm. They provided the dead weight for the ships, so they needed very little other ballast, and the rest of the hold could then be filled with a lighter cargo such as wool. So they were, it was actually a really great. Great thing for the maritime trade. Mm. And then, of course, the industry needed all the other provisioning that goes with shipping. And so Sydney as a maritime port really boomed. So, you know, you think coopers, sailmakers, dockyard, caulkers, anchor smiths, block makers, all these sort of jobs that we don't really talk about today. These were all very important jobs in Sydney in the early 19th century because Sydney was this bustling little maritime port, provisioning for whaling industry, also the sealing industry, and then, you know, fishing and other things come on as well. So it has this really amazing impact on Sydney, not only for its economy, but also, I guess, for the kind of flavour of the town.
Yeah, I was going to ask about how whaling brought popular culture to Australia.
Yeah, it gets reflected in really interesting ways. So because the sailors are, you know, are quite a mixed bunch of men who are from all different sort of countries, we get that reflected in the local area, particularly down around the rocks, around the docks areas. Mm. And there was even an area down around the rocks called Maori Town because of the prevalence of Maori seamen who were there from time to time. They kind of congregated together. Mm. If you look at sort of early paintings and illustrations, there are quite a number of the whaler ships, both anchored in Sydney Harbour and also out at sea, you know, doing their spectacular work. And I think the thing about that is that it helped to encourage a local artistic industry and the business owners. It was an expensive business to be in. Like, to fit out a whaler was cost, you know, a lot of money, like sort of £10,000. So you had to really put your money where your mouth was, so to speak, and actually kind of fit it all up, get it, and hopefully reap the rewards.
Yeah.
So the businessmen who were successful at it got paintings of their whaling ships in harbour and so on. So this is also, you know, commissioning of ships. It's sort of like the other thing that I really love about sort of Sydney painting is there's things like paintings of racehorses and things. So you get your whaler ship painted, you get your horse painted. So this is all local industry. And then, of course, we also get music of the day gets written about whaling. In the 1850s, a skeleton of a sperm whale was acquired by the Australian Museum. And a local composer, George Strong, wrote the Catadon Polka. So Catadon was actually part of the Latin name for scientific name for the sperm whale.
Okay.
So he wrote the Catadon Polka. So you can just imagine the dance music of the day, everyone like grooving to the Catadon Polka.
I wish I had one to play right now.
I know. But we do, it's some sheet music. It's held in the National Library of Australia. We'll put a link up to it on our blog on the Dish in Sydney. And so all you musicians out there, you can download the Catadon Polka and see if you can do a contemporary version of it.
Yes, do that if you are listening. Definitely go and do that. So it's not whale sounds then? That might be a bit insensitive to say.
I don't think so.
Not inspired by the whales themselves.
No, the song was actually dedicated to the curator of the Australian Museum, who sort of put the skeleton together and everything.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we got music, paintings, geez, a whole booming business. And then eventually the industry did dwindle. What caused that?
Well, I think it was a sort of, there was competition. There was also dwindling numbers of whales as well. Mm. And also just the establishment of other whaling stations elsewhere. So while Sydney started off really as being one of the key ports, it was quickly taken over by other areas. People would think in New South Wales, think of Eden, you know, later on in the 20th century over at Albany in Western Australia. So whaling continues, but not from Sydney. And Australia didn't stop whaling until quite late, really, 1979.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
So while we pride ourselves on loving our whales today, it was up until 1979 that we were still whaling.
Yeah, that's not so long ago.
No.
Well, Lisa, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. But thank you very much for your time on the show. And we can check out more about the whaling industry on your website, Dictionary of Sydney.
Dictionary of Sydney.org. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.